888 Sport. Be part of the action with our quick and easy app. In-play betting with thousands of markets to choose from on all the best sporting action. Plus, follow the latest trends and see what others are backing with our all-new Bet Feed feature. 888 Sport.
Hello there, good evening and welcome to this very special Irish Examiner virtual Cheltenham preview event, which has been brought to you in association with 888sport.com as we look ahead to the 2021 festival in the company of three of the sharpest pundits in Irish racing. Irish Examiner racing correspondent and top tipster Tommy Lyons, Irish Examiner racing columnist and, fair to say, Cheltenham royalty in Ruby Walsh, and a very special welcome as well then to Mick Fitzgerald, making his debut tonight on an Irish Examiner Cheltenham event. He's no stranger to top tips and he's no stranger to the cameras either. But first, our host for this evening, it's Irish Examiner racing correspondent, Mr. Tommy Lyons.
Yeah, thanks, Colm. You've done a nice job of the intro there, so it lets us kind of get on with matters at hand. Inevitably, as we get closer to the festival, there's going to be a couple of hiccups along the way. We had a couple of them today in the news that Energumene will be out, missed the Arkle, and Time Hill is going to be out of the stables. Ruby, a bit of disappointment in Clasutton?
Yeah, there is, Tommy, but I think when you look at it rationally, it's a much bigger blow for Philip Hobbs. Willie Mullins is in the lucky position of having Appreciated and Concertista on the same day that are favourites, let alone everything else he has at the meeting. I mean, you look at Philip Hobbs's yard, Time Hill is their flagship horse. It's a much bigger blow for them and for Richard Johnson. And my heart goes out to them to have a horse like Time Hill, who has been so progressive through the season, and to go wrong this close to the race. I feel for them. I honestly do. Willie is in a fortunate position, as we all are, and Willie's to have such an army of horses. But for a big yard like Philip Hobbs's and to have your main horse go missing, my sympathies with them.
Yeah, look, they're probably the two big names, and they kind of rob us of maybe a couple of massive clashes during the week. Now, we'll have plenty of those, and we'll probably go into detail about them a little later on. But Mick, the ground in Cheltenham, have you got the latest update, maybe what it is now and what we can expect next week? It's going to be very important to the outcome.
Yeah, like Simon Claes came out yesterday and said that the ground is good to soft on both courses and on the cross-country course. I was expecting it and almost hoping it was going to be a bit slower, because we've had, I'm sure all you guys as well, there was a horse bus that came over to us. He couldn't travel on the boat because it was so windy. And we all know what wind does, it dries. And it's dried the ground over here. And there's been a bit of rain around today. The forecast has got bits and pieces of rain, but nothing significant. And I think we could see the starting on Tuesday on good to soft ground. There's still plenty of water underneath the surface, and it won't take much rain to change it, but at the moment it looks like we're going to start off on good to soft.
So we can be kind of looking forward, maybe looking ahead, maybe thinking as the week progresses that it's going to get reasonably quick.
It certainly could do, and you know, God forbid we should be talking about that word water. I'm certainly hoping that doesn't come into the equation, and you know, there is some rain around. Let's just hope quite a bit of it falls on Cheltenham, because it won't take much to turn it. And the last thing that you'll need to happen is that they have to start watering it.
Yeah, very much so. Just good safe ground is all we want for the week. Ruby, expectation for the week ahead, it's going to be very, very different. I would normally be over there working. You have the fortune that you actually will be able to be there. Mick, you'll be there yourself. What are your expectations? It's going to be very, it's almost going to be quite weird, I'd say, even on track. What's he going to do is it going to make a difference to jockeys, to trainers, to staff, to horses, to the races themselves, and to your own working week?
I think for me, anyway, Tommy, it'll be that the whole focus is solely on the racing. And yeah, I actually don't think that'll be a bad thing. There is no crowd, there is no sideshow, there is no fanfare. It is solely, completely and utterly about what's happening on the track. And I don't think that'll be a bad thing. I think there'll be a lot of good races. I mean, you look at it, you start with the Supreme, which could be a cracking race, and all the way to the Mrs. Paddy Power Chase, or not even the Fred Wint, the Martin Pipe is the last race even. There's some big horses, some big reputations going on the line, and this year it's going to be totally and completely about what's happening on the track.
I think it's quite condensed. It's a bit like you said, our focus should be entirely on the racing, but there do seem to be very, very strong races. The quality overall seems to be absolutely massive. Do you agree with that, Mick?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, there isn't going to be that many social runners this year. You know, groups of lads who look, we'd really love to have a runner at Cheltenham. We're all going. We've gone for 20 years. It'd be lovely to walk into that parade ring and think you have half a chance. There won't be those sort of runners. So I think you're going to have quite a lot of horses sneaking into a few of those handicaps that might not normally have got in. So, you know, the handicaps will have an open look to some of them. But the quality is, you know, we're in a privileged position. And I think that's something that's very important for us to understand. You know, we are in a position where we're able to go to Cheltenham. I'm able to get into the parade ring and look at the horses and see them up close. That is a privilege, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, we'll be hoping that we can convey that to everybody's had at home, because one of the things that I struggle with sometimes when I'm watching racing on the TV is, you know, we need to show the people at home what we're able to see on the track. And I think that's really important. I think more so next week than any other, because there'll be a lot of lads who love to see the horses up close, don't have that opportunity now this year. And it's very important that we give them that sort of access.
It is an opportunity to kind of claw back a bit from last year. Cheltenham, and even though none of us did wrong by there was no government directive that we shouldn't go or whatever, but it did get a lot of bad press for the fact that there were still big crowds there when the COVID was kind of developing. It's a bit of a chance to claw back and just show us what the best of what racing is about, really.
It is. And as Mick says, like, he'll be in the parade ring. I won't. I'll be completely segregated from the rest of the ITV team because I'll be part of the Irish bubble. I mean, the lengths and the levels that Cheltenham are going to make this as safe as possible, and with respect to everybody that lives in Cheltenham town, it's just incredible. I mean, from the time all of the Irish Horses staff, anybody, people arrive there, be it from tomorrow night through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you don't have any access to Cheltenham town. You can't go to the shop. You can't get a takeaway. Everybody is confined to the racecourse. That is where you will live basically for the week. So they are making huge efforts to make sure that they claw back a bit of what publicity you got last year, which I still firmly believe was wrong.
Yeah, I firmly agree. Yes, I said you know, things changed very, very quickly at that time, and it was misfortunate that it was during Cheltenham. It could have been any week. It just happened very quickly. Probably what we're going to do is move on. There's plenty to talk about, and we probably try to keep this to roughly about an hour, not to go into wild detail about it. But the Supreme Novice is a great way to start off. Punters, obviously, extremely keen, good start. Ruby, normally, or plenty of times, you've obliged for punters. Is Willie going to do it again?
Yeah, I think he will. I'm not sure appreciated as much value, Tommy, to tell you, that got on his route at 6-4. Yeah. And I hope he's quick enough. He has a turn of foot, but, you know, as Mick says, the ground is dry. And if he has the pace to be able to travel comfortably in a 2-mile race going to gallop, they'd be going. But I do have a feeling that the Irish Novices could be a little bit ahead of the English ones. But I think Blue Lord at 10 or 12 to 1 is better each way value than maybe appreciated is at 6-4 to win it.
Yeah, I know the ground was different last year. If Mick is saying it's going to be good to soft, I think it was a bit more testing in the bumper last year. I felt appreciated was probably, you know, advantaged by where he was situated. He was made very well at the end. It's a shame that Fernie Holler won't be with us this year. I think a slight concern I'd have, and a lot of punters might have, is that I don't think Appreciated would be even looking at this race if Fernie Hollow had, you know, had been sound through the year. I think he could have been potentially an exceptional two-miler. A little bit quicker ground, Mick, you might agree, but a little bit quicker ground might be a concern for Appreciated. Have you something? Meteor is an ex-Irish horse, Harry Fry's horse, has impressed over hurdles. Have you taken to him, or do you think he's up to it?
I was very cold on him at the start, but he grew on me. I was impressed with him at Sandown on heavy ground. He was a very good flat horse in Ireland, like you've said. He's a good jumper. Harry Fry's horses have been very in and out this season. You know, he's had a little bit of form of late, but it's not that inspiring. I actually thought Bally Adam represented a little bit of value in here. Very strong traveller. I think he, you know, what we used to have many years ago is you come to Cheltenham and you watch all the replays of horses winning, especially some of the races in Ireland. Heavy ground, they go steady, sprint. It's a bit of a farcical race sometimes. Mm-hmm. Then you get to Cheltenham and suddenly it's different ground. They go flat out and some of these horses suddenly get swept off their feet. And it's a different ball game. We might have that again this year. And if that's the case, it'll bring in a few of those other horses. I like the way Bally Adam finished the race off the last day behind Appreciated. He made a mistake at the last, which should have cost him a lot more than the distance he was beaten. I just think at a bit of value, I'm going to take on Appreciated with him.
I kind of thought we used to use that ground thing as a bit of an excuse when we were only having maybe one, two or three winners, but now things have changed a bit. I don't know. I'm not quite settled on how I think this race will be. I kind of want to take on Appreciated just at the price. I think Ruby's right that it is plenty short enough, and it's quite reasonably strong in the machine. It's around about 7-4, that sort of price, even slightly under it. Bally Adam, I think, probably has maybe a little bit too much to find. Blue Lord is a horse that, even behind Bob Ollinger over a longer trip, I thought he was quite impressed that he stayed with him so long. I think this horse is going to improve a lot. He is an each-way bet. We'll move along to the Arkle Novices Chase. Now, that was a shame today to the news that Energy Me would be out. I think you're going to agree with me, Mick, here. I would have been in the camp that thought that Shishkin was going to win it anyway. I think he's a pretty special horse. He overcame an awful lot last year to win the Supreme. Things just went against him. I think he showed a bit of fighting quality as much as anything else last year, but his class has been seen over fences this year.
Ah, yeah, he's got the wow factor. And we've seen that with the time he put up when he won at Kempton. His jumping was flawless. Look, he's one of these horses that he stays really well over 2 miles. And you'd say, looking at him, that if he wanted to step up in trip, it wouldn't be a problem for him. Ruby will tell you, they're the sort of horses you love at Cheltenham. The ones that are strong stayers in races. Because so often, you get horses who arrive at the last, you press the button, nothing happens. You know with this horse that when you press the button, he's going to finish. And that's huge. I'm gutted that Energumene doesn't run, because this was going to be one of the races of the festival. You know, All Mankind and Energumene setting off like bats out of hell, jumping out the gate. And then basically Shishkin looking like he might be a little bit cold in the early part of the race and then finishing the race off really strongly. I think one of the performances that I saw at Cheltenham was, I think when Masterminded won at Cheltenham, he was awesome. And like, he blew everybody away. But that was only because the race had been set up by the others going really fast. And I think if that had happened in this race, we would have seen the best of Shishkin. I'm still hoping we're going to see the best of him. And I think he'll win. And I think he'll be a tough one to beat next year.
Ruby, what way do you think this race is going to go? I presume All Mankind, he's kind of a foregone sort. Captain Guinness, potentially, along with him?
Yeah, he'll go with him. I'd say he'll go with him anyway, Tommy. All Mankind, Captain Guinness. You know Franco de Port will take his time. Black Bull, don't know. He's been held up the last twice. He might go forward if he's to run in this instead of the Marsh. But I'd agree with Fitzy. I think Shishkin is by far the best horse, and as ridiculous as it may sound, I think 4-7 is value about him in this race.
Yeah, I can't
oppose him. Tommy, I saw him jumping yesterday, and you know it's normally like a warm up thing, but I don't know about warm, but he was scalding hot watching him going up there. He's very swift.
I love everything about him. I think he won a Supreme last year when he shouldn't have. Everything went pear shaped for him, and he still found a way to win. And that's what good horses do. Like good football teams, like anything. When it's not going the way, they still win, and that's what he did last year.
I think at official ratings too, it was a shame that Energy won't be there. There wasn't much between them and official ratings, and it might have brought out the best in both.
Should I put me in bad form talking about official ratings, because All Mankind's only rated 4 points behind Shishkin. That I can't figure out.
Let's move on to an absolutely what I think looks a really, really good renewal of the champion herd. Ruby, you're a big fan of Honeysuckle. I think you've been impressed maybe more than ever this year what she's achieved and how she's done it.
Yeah, I am, Tommy. And I look, last year when she won the Irish Champion Hurdle, she got back up to beat Petty Mouchoir, and I could see why they went to the Mayor's Hurdle. To me, that didn't scream like a performance that you'd be going to the Champion Hurdle with. And this year, it's the absolute opposite. She quickened up smartly to beat Ronald Pump at Fairy House and just hung on. And at the end, you're thinking, God, is she the mare she was? Then she went to Leopardstown and absolutely blew them away. Like, from the time she faced down the back, she just started building it up and building it up, and she galloped them into the ground. I think it'll be a brilliant race. I'm an Appetan fan, but I think this year's renewal will be a different race to last year's. I think with Goshen, Aspire Tower, Silver Streak, Not So Sleepy, I think this will be a really strong rerun race. And their horses, some of those have a chance. I mean, Goshen, you can't let them off. You can't let Aspire Tower off. So the rest of the field has to follow them. Last year, they could allow Petit Mouchoir to gallop along in front because he wasn't going to beat them. This year, they have to follow the ones in front. And I think for that reason, the shape the race will take, it'll become a stamina test. And I think that's what will suit Honeysuckle more than Epitant.
Is it a battle between the mares, Mick?
I think so. Look, Goshen would be a great story. And who wouldn't begrudge the Moors a chance for a bit of redemption after what happened to them last year? I think he goes a bit right-handed. On this track, on the old course, you're turning all the time. It doesn't really look like that on the telly, but you are. You're turning all the time. I think if he's going a little bit right, added into that, I think it might not suit him. I just feel that, like Ruby has said, I saw something in Honeysuckle last time that I didn't think she had. I didn't think she had that change of gear. And, you know, I think she sets a high standard in here. The one thing I will say is that Epitant is better now than she was before. When she went into Kempton, you know, we thought everything was hunky-dory and she was going to win and win easy. Didn't happen for her. But she seems in good form. Better the ground, you'd say the better the chance for her. She looked very good when she won up at Newcastle on decent ground. So, you know, if it does dry and maybe that doesn't suit Honeysuckle, it might swing it a bit more in Epitant's favour.
Looking beyond the front two, Ruby, obviously Charger was runner-up last year. And actually, do you know what? The race might be run to suit that he might run into a place if he's ridden very cold. But James de Burley is obviously extremely interesting. I get the impression, Willie's not going to come out and tell you, I think I'm going to win the Champion Hurdle with a horse that hasn't run for him. But just when you read things from him or you hear things from him, he seems quite like James de Burley. And it's interesting that he's made the decision to actually run him this season when, as he admits, he's been bought to be a novice chaser.
Yeah, look, he could run into a place, Tommy. His style of racing in France was to be held up, so he could be coming from the back of a really strong pace. Now, Charger will be coming from there as well. I don't think James de Burley will be quite as far back as Charger will be in the run, but I just can't see enough of the front horses folding to allow the ones from the back to actually win the race. I think James de Burley could be placed.
Yeah, it's a cracking contest. It looks a really, really good renewal. There is a lot of pace in it now. The only thing is that you say that maybe it might.
Yeah, but they're good horses. Goshen, Silver Streak, Honeysuckle. They're not all going to fall in the hole. One or two of those is going to keep going. Something will come and run into the money. But not all of those horses at the front of the race are going to fall in the hole.
When I saw Goshen on the flat in his form during last season, when he kind of it seemed like he lost his form, and even over hurdles at the start, can he really be back? Can he really be back to being a Champion Hurdle contender?
Not on what we saw, like you say, Tommy, on the flat. You know, when he got beat by Natural History at I think it was Goodwood, where he was behind him on the flat that day, that was a very ordinary run. But what I will say is, he looked good when he won the last day at Wincanton. But I just feel that he had everything in his favour at Wincanton. It was right-handed. You know, I just think this is a different ball game altogether. You know, I would be concerned more about the track than anything else. His good form was on that new course where there's only two hurdles in the last, literally the last mile of that. Whereas on that old course, there's a lot more hurdles to jump. You're turning a lot more. So that would be a negative for me. I think Charger is the each way bet. Okay. He'll be ridden cold. He'll be ridden to come through. And I think if you're trying to nick a bit of place money, he's the one for that.
Yeah, often an underrated horse. He's achieved plenty in his career, in fairness, even if things haven't always gone his way. The Mayor's Hurdle, obviously, Ruby, it's a race that Willie has dominated. Looks like Concertista is gone odds on for this. Roxana is she going to go the Stayers Hurdle route, maybe?
I think that's must be the reckoning why Concertista has gone odds on. I don't know, will she? I still don't see how Roxana turns the form with Paisley Park and then throw in Sire de Burleigh as well. So, I don't know. I think Roxana's form is better than Concertista's. If she was mine, she'd be running here, because I think Roxana has a better chance of beating Concertista than she does Paisley Park. But look, that's only my opinion. Concertista is all potential. She won the Mayor's Novice Hurdle last year. Her form is nowhere near as strong as Roxana's. And Dame de Compagnie was a good winner of last year's Coral Cup. She's a good mare, Concertista, but she has to go and deliver on the biggest stage. All her form ties in with Manila Melody and beating Dolcita here last year. I'm not sure that's anywhere near the form level that Roxana has.
That's a very good question, Tommy. For Ruby, Concertista Ruby, would you be as happy with her over 2.5 as you would with her over 2?
She's won over 2.5 the last day, Mick. My sister Sarah and Manila Melody went a really strong gallop and she came from well off the pace. She's not slow, Concertista. She did get beaten plenty of times. And whatever way you look at it, Benny DeDue, when she fell, needed to jump the last to beat Roxana. She couldn't have afforded to slow down and pop it. She wouldn't have won either way. And, like, I'm not just certain, looking at Roxana this year, that she has to have 3 miles. I know, with my Willie Mullins hat on, I'm hoping Dan Skelton heads off to the Stairs Hurdler.
I think she's going to run here, Tommy, Roxana.
Okay.
From all the noises we've been hearing over here, you know, it looks like Roxana's going to take her chance in this. Obviously, with Tyne Hill coming out, it throws a real spanner in the works, but they've still got Paisley Park to beat. I think if Roxana runs in here, she wins. I really do.
It's interesting. We're taking on a short one there. I tend to agree. I think Roxana's a cracking mare. I think she's been underrated slightly. A serious mare. The couple of handicap, our National Hunt Chase, of course, we have to talk about. I think if they make the decision to run Royal Pagai here, I think he's the best in the meeting, I'll be honest about it. I don't like him for the Gold Cup. I think his jump will be put under pressure at a different pace completely. He runs in this race, I just think he wins.
I'd agree.
Yeah, the ground drying, that'll suit Galvin.
Yes.
He's a winner at the track on decent ground. He's a very good jumper. He was second in the big handicap last year. I think if they confirm Royal Pagai for this, I think he'll go short. And I think he'll go very short. And I think Galvin will look a very attractive price. I would take him on. I'm going to take him on with Galvin. I just think he's proven at the track and he's ticking an awful lot of boxes.
We can't. There are many of the horses, and I don't really want to go into the whole Gordon Elliott side again. But is there any way of making, you know, having any gauge, or is just going to have to wait and see with all the horses that they've moved yard?
I don't know, Fitzy. I think they'll be fine. I mean, it's too close. It's only 2 weeks. I mean, what was Gordon going to do with them in 2 weeks? Only kick them over.
They're
plenty fit, and I don't get the whole moving yard thing. Look, Galvin is 8, is he? 7, 8? Galvin 7.
7, yeah.
You're not sending, it's not like sending a 12-year-old off to boarding school. You're sending people off to college. They're old enough to adapt. And if they were going to the Melbourne Cup, they'd be in quarantine in Newmarket for a fortnight and no one would say boo about it. So I don't think it's that big an issue myself.
There are a couple of handicaps on the first day, the Ultiman. Mick, you might be placed to give us some sort of idea. It's a difficult race.
Yeah, do you know, I really like I Write in here. Very often people say, you know, you're looking for a young pretender, one that's not been found by the handicap or not been found by the market. You look at the horses that have won this race. It's been won by horses that have been around a little bit, like the conditional won last year. He had solid form coming into it. I Write's form is better than any of these. Like, he was placed in a Ladbroke. He was placed in a Charlie Hall. He's a very good jumper. Dickie Johnson rides him. Basically, you know, marriage made in heaven. Dickie will gun him. And, you know, I think he's a really good bet at 10 to 1.
Ruby, any opinion on
that? No opinion, Tommy. No opinion on it. I'm an I Ride fan, but I have no opinion on the race.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to have an opinion on the Fred Winter, or the Boodles, as we call it. Willie has a very likely type in St. Sam.
Yeah, I couldn't guarantee he'll run. It's the only thing. I do think Connections want to go to the Triumph. This is definitely a weaker race. He's a rating of 139, which would look workable for him. And it's a much weaker race. Hoagree is your favourite. Coulter of Dermot Wells has been well mapped out for it. John Joe Jr. rides him. I think Bustleton could be interesting as well. But look, Tommy, till I see declarations and handicaps, not for speculating on them.
Tend to agree. Let's move on, and we'll move quite quickly from here. We've spent quite a bit of time, but I think the first 2 days are the days where punters are going to get the money if they're going to get it at all. So the Ballymore looks a cracking contest. There are some here. Mick, you spoke a little bit earlier on about Brave Man's Game. You said you've seen him recently blowing Paul's. He is a horse towards the head of the market. What do you make of him?
Oh, I love him. I love him, Tommy. He looked really good when he won at Newbury. Like, he's got a turn of foot. He's a strong traveller. He's a good jumper. He's the only thing I would say, looking at him, when I saw, I was really impressed with him when I saw him at Newbury when he won. And I saw him, I was down at Paul's the other day, and I thought to myself, do you know what? This horse is going to be so much better next year when he's a little bit stronger. And that's the only, like, if I'm to find any negative about him, I can't knock his form. I can't knock what I've seen of it. Yeah. But the only thing I would say is he looks to me like he's going to be a better horse physically next year. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a horse like Denman who came in here. He was the good thing and he got beat because he probably just wasn't the finished article physically.
Because he got a poor ride.
I didn't want to say that, Ruby, but... That'd be my only concern about Brave Man's Game. I think his form is up to it, and it's the best of the UK horses. But I just worry that maybe he's going to be a better horse next year.
Yeah, well, Ruby, we're sending over a strong challenge, Gerard O'Neill, and obviously Bob Ollinger, who's been impressive too, and he seems to be the one for all the support. He's gone quite short, actually, 9-4-ish, that sort of price. A clear favourite, Bob Ollinger.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I think, look, both horses were beaten in a maiden hurdle first time up, but one was beaten by Fernie Hollow, the other was beaten by Holy McAponey. And I know Gary Ardemezian beat a Mr. Incredible then at Leopardstown, and he went on to beat Glens of Antrim at Naas, but I just prefer Bob Ollinger's form, and I've always been impressed with him, and I think he's the most likely winner. For value, Bear Gills could probably be the value.
Okay, I think it's a cracking contest there. We'll move on to Ruby to the what they call, I suppose we call the RSA. I don't think anybody's going to go against Monkfish. He just looks a bit special, doesn't he?
He does everything right. Good traveller, good jumper, good mentality. You know he stays. He won the Albert Bartlett. He's ridiculously short. You know, do you double him at Shishkin? Do you double him at Shaq and Pourchois? Do you treble him at Envoy Allen and Shishkin? I think the novice races are the best races. Potential wise, they're three really short price favourites. And I think this fella's rock solid. And it's like looking at Shishkin and looking at Envoy Allen on the Thursday, Tommy. It's pick the horse to beat them. I can't pick a horse in any of the three races to beat the favourite. And if you took them out of Cheltenham and ran out of a Thursday and just said this is a normal novice chase, Monkfish would be 1-4, Shishkin would be 1-4, and Envoy Allen would be 1-4. But because it's Cheltenham, they're only barely odds on. They all should be shorter than they are in the races they're running.
It's the fact that Monkfish has had some good tests on the way, including over hurdles. It's just great to see that he keeps coming out on top. He does look the real deal, doesn't he?
I really think he's one of the most exciting young horses around. I did the walk back interviews last year at Cheltenham, and I walked alongside Paul Townend where, after he'd won on this fella. And I've got long arms, and even I couldn't reach up to Paul Townend because this horse is a monster. Like, he's huge. And for him to win a race at the Cheltenham Festival over hurdles, I think shows you how good he is. And like last time it was over 2.5, everybody thought, oh, will he be as good back in trip? As good. He was so impressive. You know, and look, I've said it all along, but I think if this horse ran in the Gold Cup this year, he'd win. I think he's that good.
Fortunately, it was never a conversation. I think the stable might think they have that one covered. He does look entirely special. I think he's the one favourite of the week that nobody be trying to get beaten. He just looks absolutely sensational. Ruby, the champion chase, this is the favourite that potentially could take on Shaquem Pourceaux. Mick will tell us plenty about Altior in a minute, but Shaquem Pourceaux,
I don't know what you're going to take, or Tommy, what you're going to take him on with. Altior was an incredible racehorse, and I saw the back end of Altior more than anybody else. But I just don't know at 11, is he still that racehorse? He wasn't at Christmas. There's no way Nube Negra would beat the real Altior, but he did at Christmas. Politolog, to me, was a lucky enough winner of it last year. The race fell apart. First Flow, I think, has to go right-handed. What's going to be Check and Pourceaux? Put the Kettle On wasn't in the same parish as him in Leopardstown at Christmas. Can't see how she does it. He's a good jumper. He's a strong traveller. I think he would win over further, and I actually think he'd be better on better ground. His best performance thus far, or as a novice, was in Punchestown in good ground. So I think he's a horse that will improve for good ground. They're all about sticking cheap pieces on Altior, and he'd be a brilliant horse and it'd be a fairy tale result, but I just don't see it, and I think Shocking is rock solid.
Mick, Altior, turn back the clock.
I hope so. I'd love to see it. Like, he, the one theme that occurs every year with Cheltenham when you look at the results is horses that have got previous form at the festival turning up year on year and delivering the goods. He's one that's won four times at the festival. There's no doubt on his form and on what we've seen of him, he doesn't look as good as he was. He's just lost that air of invincibility. But what I will say is he's going to have cheap pieces on. He schooled yesterday morning. Now, the first thing Nicky said after watching him school is, now tell me that horse needs cheap pieces. Because Shishkin wouldn't have been able to go with him the way he went up that schooling ground. But, you know, he's always schooled well. But what I will say is he comes in here, he loves Cheltenham. And you know he's going to get outpaced. And you hope then he's going to start to run. Because, you know, he is a good horse. But what we've seen of Shaquem Pourceaux at Leopardstown, he's going to be a tough nut to crack. He's still to do it at Cheltenham, though. And that's the only thing. If you're a fan of every other horse in the race, that's the one thing you're hanging on to. He's never done it at Cheltenham.
Yeah. Put Kettle On, to be fair to her, does come alive at Cheltenham, but she's, nothing suggests maybe that she's up to that standard. I can see her running into a place, but I don't think she's going to beat the top couple in the betting. I don't see Nube Negra winning the champion chase, to be honest. Champion Bumper, lads. Kilcrut, Ruby. Was that as good as it looked? Are you at Christmas or the Dublin Racing Festival?
I don't know, Tommy. And he's a tall, skinny horse that's doesn't take a whole pile of work, so he doesn't get worked hard at home. I can't really tell you anything about Sir Gerhard, only that Willie Mullins has him 9 days, and he's bay, and he's a white face. So we don't really know. I mean, his form is rock solid. He looks fit, he looks well, but everybody knows as much about him as we do. But I do think Ramillies is overpriced at 16-1. I think he's improved a hell of a lot for his run at the Dublin Racing Festival. And I think that race was just too strongly run. So I think he has a chance.
Interesting other price. Mick, have you anything that you've taken on top of the market?
Some of the UK trained horses now don't look anything special. Wonderwall, he won nicely at Ascot. And I know the lads that own him, they've actually had a few quid on him to be placed. So look, it's a speculative bet. I do think that this one will be going back across the water.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way. We'll skip the handicaps on the day. The Marsh Novices Chase, it's in violin. What a star he is. What an absolute star he has always looked, in fairness to him. He's won a couple of times at the Cheltenham Festival. Going to be three?
For me, definitely. I think his jumping has been rock solid. I've loved him since he won in Down Royal. I love how sure he is of what he's doing himself. He doesn't need any help to jump. He knows exactly what to do. I think he's an absolute monster. And look, he's a shade of odds on as well. But like, Shamblou's a fair horse. Chantry House, not so sure. Tradham Street Lad won a handicap really impressively back in December. Fusil Raffles, if the ground got really dry, is probably overpriced to be placed at 16-1 because he'd really like that. But I just can't see it beating Envoy Allen. Can you, Mick?
No, to be honest. The only concern, obviously, is, you know, you're clutching at straws. He's looked really good on slow ground. If the ground does dry, and it, you know, that's the only thing you're saying, or it might just bring a few of the others into the race. But You know, Sean Blue is a very, very good jumper. But then again, so is Enwa Alen. I think Sean Blue will be suited to the race. Chatham Street Lad, I think, is the value bet each way. He looked really good when he won a handicap at the track. Again, course form comes into it. Like, he didn't just win that handicap. He absolutely bolted up. And never at any stage when you looked at him from three out did you think he was going to get beat. And like, he won very easily. I know he had very little weight and he's gone up a fair bit in the ratings. But he's a big price in here for a horse that is proven at the track. And I just think at an each-way price, he's the one for me, because I think Envoy Allen is going to go very short.
Yeah, I just love the fact that last year Envoy Allen looked in trouble as a turn for home. And in a matter of strides, he had the race in the bag again. I think he's just he's an impressive beast. We seem to be saying a lot, and it kind of goes back to what we said earlier on. There seems to be an awful lot of really, really top-class talent around at the moment. Monkfish and the likes. We're talking about Shishkin as well. It could be a rare time for us. The Ryanair Chase, as anything there, Ruby, this is quite an interesting race. Willie has plenty of... Which one would you go with?
Logic is mean. He's a five-time Grade 1 winner over fences. He won the race last year. That said, I thought Paul Townend gave him a brilliant ride to win last year. And I don't know, has he got that much in hand? He beat St. Calvados, who reopposed. Alaho is a Grade 2 winner over fences. He's won a beginner's chase in a Grade 2. Mellon, good old Mellon. You could probably bring him to the Cheltenham Festival and he'd be second to Shishkin on Tuesday, to Monkfish on Wednesday, and to Envoy Allen on Thursday. He just loves finishing second at the Cheltenham Festival. But logic tells you mean, but at 10, can he be getting any better? He has to overcome a poor run the last day. I think he'll overcome that, but is he just vulnerable? Alaho's only a 7-year-old. I think he's run at the Cheltenham Festival at the wrong distance twice. I think this will suit him much better. I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to pick.
I think I mean, as a horse that frustrates me, I can't seem to get him right. I think he falls maybe, I know he's won Grade 1, but he falls maybe a tiny bit short of the very top class, but maybe he won't have to be a superstar to win again. Alaho, I'd slightly prefer. Mick?
I really like St. Talbot in here. The trainer, Harry Whittington's had a terrible season. His horses had a virus and he just never, like, I think he went something like 68 days without a winner. And, you know, he has a decent team of horses. So, like, he was getting very frustrated. They ran this horse in the King George. He travelled really well in the King George and then faded. Then they ran him in the Cotswold Chase behind Native River at Sandown. And he unseated his rider before the race really hotted up. They're running him back in here. He only got beaten a neck by Min last year. He was coming again at the end. I just think at the prices, he's definitely the one for me. I think I cannot see him out of the money.
Yeah. Excellent. Let's move on to the Stairs Hurdle. Obviously lost a little bit of it. It's with the Time Hill, the news today. Paisley Park has come back to form. It's good to see. I don't think he's a million miles ahead of everything else in the race. It's probably quite an open race. I think we could probably find something at a price maybe against him. Ruby, could you find something?
I think there definitely is. Look, I think Time Hill was unlucky at Ascot. I think when he jumped the second last and Richard Johnson had to commit him and he got away from the field, he pulled up, and that's the only reason Paisley Park got him back, and he mugged him in the last three strides. I think even if he got to Time Hill earlier, Time Hill would have rallied. Clock watchers will tell you that Sarah de Burles Portem's performance was a better one than Lisnagar Oscar's in the Stairs Hurdle. They both were the same day last year. So that has to give Sarah de Burles a good chance. And I thought Lisnagar Oscar ran really well in Haydock, his first run after a wind operation. The stats say the second run is often horses' best run, but he will need a really strong gallop, which he might get from Flooring Porter, being a front runner in here. But I think the two of them, Lisnagar Oscar at 9-1 and Sarah de Burles at 9-2, are probably opposition to the favourite.
Mick, do you see opposition?
No, I don't. I think I couldn't see, like, you know, I'm going very much against Ruby here. Like, I couldn't see Time Hill turning the form around with Paisley Park. I thought Paisley Park did very well to win at Ascot. Ruby rode big bucks to win several Stairs Hurdles. Paisley Park, very similar profile. You know, races lazily. You think, oh my God, he's in trouble, and then suddenly he's bang there. He's an unbelievable horse, this. Obviously, it wasn't ideal what happened to him last year. He was beating the odds on when they found that he had a fibrillating heart. But failing that sort of problem, I think he'll win. I think he'll win easy.
Yeah, I think that if Roxana doesn't run here, it will help them a bit. Not to say that she could be in the frame. She probably isn't strong enough to beat them. And the mare's novice burden, Ruby. This is quite open, maybe more open than we've come to expect in recent seasons. It's been kind of, we've had something that we could cling on to. Willie's lost a couple along the way. I think she wears it well. Would have been a likely type for this, I think.
She would. Hook Up has a similar profile to Let's Dance, in that they both ran in the training from both were second season novices. She won her maiden Horwell in Fairy House, made a mistake when Royal Cahala beat her, but I thought Royal Cahala beat her fair and square back in Fairy House, and she did a good run then behind Appreciated. I don't think there's that much between Rosie's Hall or Royal Cahala and Galois. They were first, second and third in Fairy House. I think a mistake here, a good jump there, could turn that form any which way. And Glens of Antrim is a rock solid maiden. To be honest with you, Tommy, I could see any one of the five of them winning, and it won't surprise me, but I don't know which one.
Yeah, I thought Hook Up maybe the day she was beaten by Roy Cahalid, I thought that maybe stamina was an issue, and then the last day she did nothing but fly home. She has me slightly confused. I don't know what to make of her. She's either very, very good, or just things maybe fell nicely for her the last day. I don't know. Mick, have you a strong opinion?
Yeah, I really fancy Hook Up. I thought she got... Okay. She made a mistake at the wrong time. They got away from her a little bit, and she, like you say, she finished the race off really well. I think if Appreciated goes and wins, and Barry Adam runs a big race in the opener, I think she'll go quite short, because I think plenty of people latch on to that. I like her. I think she's got a good profile, you know, and I think she looks a much better horse this year. She actually reminds me, now I could be talking absolute bollocks here, but she reminds me of Concertista, because she went to the race the previous year, Ruby, and then went and won the following season.
She did, yeah. Concertista had her first run in the race as a first run ever over hurdles, and she just got caught on the line at 50-1 with Danny Mullins, Eglantine the sidechinder. Yeah, I would be slightly concerned about Hook Up stamina, but I don't have a strong fancy in it. I think Willie Mullins has much stronger horses across the week, and he may well win the race, but whichever one wins will be, won't be carrying any of my money, Tommy.
All right, we'll move on to Friday, because there's some terrific racing, obviously, but the big race obviously is the Gold Cup, and a bit of history potentially in the making for Album Photo. It's been much publicized, and it's just, I think it's a feeling of people that haven't really been taken by Album Photo for whatever reason you want, but the facts are he won when stamina was demanded. He won when the race wasn't exactly run to suit. He's just a classy horse who tends to find a way to win. Is he on course, Ruby, for three?
I think he is. I know Paul Townend thinks he is as well. He's very confident, and you gotta love it when your jockey is confident. Exactly as you described it, Tommy. Won a slow race, won a fast race. He has new opposition. Champion of Plutar, a new opposition to him. So is Frodon, but even though he's a King George winner and he's won a Cleve or a Cotswold chase, I just still think Frodon has to improve a little bit. I don't know why. I don't particularly fancy Santini. Kenboy has disappointed in two Gold Cups. I think Album has it all. And right now, looking at it, he is the only one of the top three or four even guaranteed to get the trip. He has form at 3 miles, 2 furlongs and 70 yards. The rest of them don't.
I tell you, a horse that obviously brought itself into the picture was Absolute Tar, but I thought last year, I know it won at the festival 2 years ago, I thought last year it made the fences look big, and that seems strange for a horse that won over fences the previous year, but I just felt it felt like a real effort to jump. Maybe stamina bringing it, but I don't think he can afford that in the Gold Cup. Mick, what way would you go with that?
I have to admit, Tommy, I did several previews last year, and he was my nap of the meeting at Plutard. I couldn't see him beat after his win in the novice the year before in the Ryanair. And he got beaten. He wasn't beaten far by Min, but I was like you, totally underwhelmed by him. You know, I thought he made a hard work of it in the Ryanair. And if you stop that race at Leopardstown, the Savills, two out or three out, and I say to you, right, that Mellon gets beat and Kemboy gets beat, you would laugh. You'd say you're talking to your pee hole, because there's no way our Plutard wins that race from there. No way. And I think it was the fact that, you know, maybe if you, what happened to the others played into our Plutard's hands. Look, he is a very good horse. Of that, there's no doubt. He's winner at the festival already, but you are just guessing a little bit about his stamina. With Alboom Photo, there's no guessing. No guessing required. He was really good in last year's race. Paul Townend kicked at the right time, and it looked like he just hung on. But riding Cheltenham Festival winners is all about timing. It's better to be, I only just hung on, to I only just didn't get there. You know, trust me, I'd rather have the former where I only just hang on.
And what about Champ's preparation, Mick? What do you make of that? I think it's far from ideal, and I'm not sure what I think about the RSA last year. I know Ruby has an opinion that he, you've said it, Ruby, I think in the past, about you felt that Champ was quickening last year and all that. I just thought they kind of went a bit hard.
Oh, I thought he jumped stink. Am I the only one that thinks he jumped? Yeah. Like people, I was doing something similar earlier, and someone said to me, Champ robbed the RSA. He didn't rob it. He gave it away, and the others gave it back to him. He jumped that bad down the back straight. Like he got into the board. Fitzy had been watching it closer than me, being associated with Nicky's yard. But he got to the board of every fence in the back straight. And as bad as a Plutard jumped, Champ jumped worse than the RSA and still managed to win. He's a very good horse. I loved him in Newbury. I loved that he found the half strides all by himself. Nico didn't have to haul him back or hang on to him. The horse found the half strides all the way himself, and he looked a different horse. Look, Fitzy will have been watching him. What do you think, Mick?
Well, last year I was down at the second last. So I ran between the second last and the last fence. There's no way Champ was going to win after the second last. No way, because the other two were gone. And then Minelli Indo stopped dead at the last when he landed at the back of it. And it just opened the door. And it's funny, when you're riding one that's coming at Cheltenham and you smell it, you know, it almost, you can feel them stopping in front of you and you can smell it. And the horses then get a bit of a run because they've got a little bit left. And it feels like it's like a fella pulling up in a lay-by and cars just going past you. That's what it's like, that place. And that was exactly what happened with Champ. He basically went by the two like they were in the lay-by. But it was only because he'd made so many mistakes going around there. And it'll be just the only question mark I'd have about Champ. You won't be able to ride him like they rode him in the game spirit. In the game spirit, you could pop him out handy, let him see everything, and you're in control. He's a horse that's got a lot of natural pace. You know, when he used to be really keen over 2.5, and when he won with Mark Walsh riding him at Aintree in that 3-mile novice hurdle, basically Mark Walsh was brilliant on him. He switched him right off at the back and got him to go to sleep. And then he was able to finish the race off. The worry was always with him that was he going to get home because he was going to be too keen. My worry with Champ will be how will he react when he's in amongst the pack in a race like a Gold Cup. That'd be the only concern I have about him. I'm not worried about his ability. I think he's a good jumper because Nico has done an awful lot of work with him. A lot of pole work. He's been to Henrietta Knights a lot. And that was evident in the way he jumped at Newbury. But the only concern I'd have is a decent sized field. And in that pack, it'll be a very different ballgame. Ruby will tell you, you can't dictate where you go when you're in the pack. You have to go where the slot is.
I think the problem I have with him is that we'll have to wait probably 3 or 4 fences to know where we stand with him and how he's jumping. He was excellent the last day, but as you said, he went out in front. What I liked, I suppose he showed the pace to lead over that trip, whereas he's not going to try to do that from the front. So I think it might be too late to have a bet on by the time you realise maybe he's jumping really well or he's settled into a good rhythm. Santini, I know you're not going to give up on him, Mick.
No, he's going to wear headgear. He had cheek pieces on him in last year's Gold Cup. They're putting a visor on him. He schooled in it yesterday, and he jumped okay. Like he is quite a good jumper, but he just gets behind the bridle a little bit. The visor will help him. I think, you know, he needs help though, because he drops off at the wrong time in a race. And in a Gold Cup, you can't afford to drop off, because then you're behind the horses. You've got to put out around him. You watch last year's race. He got stopped twice at crucial times, only because he didn't have the pace to get himself out of the hole. And that's costly.
I think it's kind of unanimous. We're thinking, I've gone over Clifford Santini at this stage. I think I can't follow him anymore. Albon Fondo seems to be the one, and hopefully it'll be a bit strange that he hasn't been lauded as much as maybe he deserves. And if he does do it a third time, it'll be in front of an empty stand, which is going to be a bit bizarre for him. I don't think connections will really mind. Now, we've only got about 10 minutes left, maybe less, so we'll kind of rush through the others a bit. It's a good triumph hurdle, Ruby.
It is, but I'm in love with the horse in him, Tommy. I've been taken with Zana here from the word go. Yeah. We had Dark Voyager primed to a hilt in Ballinrobe, and Zana here, who did things wrong, still beat him. Went to Fairy House then, and that was the same day as the Royal Bond and a good handicap hurdle, and he just ran fractions that six-year-olds should be running, not four-year-olds, and he won a slowly run race at Christmas. He's gone back favoured this evening, instead of flipped with Tritonic, and I think that's the right odds. I've been taking with him. He reminds me of our Connor. I think he could do something similar.
Interesting. Mick, great race, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a very good race. The one thing I will say is Tritonic was 99 rated horse, second at Royal Ascot on the flat, got a little bit of class. His jumping was sticky the first day at Ascot, but the last day at Kempton on good ground, he looked good, and he's a very strong stayer. This track will really suit him. And, you know, from the back of the last, if he's close to Zanair and you've backed Zanair, you'll be panicking, because this fella will come home strong.
Yeah, it has the makings of a vintage triumph hurdle, in fairness. Very, very quickly, then we're going to just take a few questions. There have been questions put in, but just before that, the Albert Bartlett, Statler is slight favourite. Far too keen the last day from my liking. Up and Trip isn't, if he doesn't settle, he just can't win, Ruby, can he?
I thought he settled well enough. Danny was making the run on him, Tommy. But I think when you watch the last furlong and a half of the race, it was 2 miles and six, and you think, well, what happens if that race goes for another two furlongs? Well, in two furlongs time, watching the race I was watching, Fakira would have been a long way in front of Statler. Statler was going backwards, Fakira was going forwards. And I think they should be the other way around in the betting. I think Fakira looks the strongest there.
Interesting. Mick?
Yeah, I'm a Fakira fan. I watched him when he won at Navan. He won that grade three from Fire Attack. He came from the back. He looked like he was off the bridle the last day. I think they're putting more headgear on him. He looks like he just needs a little bit of help. He's a strong stayer. That's the sort of horse you need. You just worry on half-decent ground if there might be one or two too good for him. But, you know, he's ticking all the right boxes. But, you know, he's a 7-1 shot, and I think that's probably about right. It's a wide-open race this year.
It does look that tight. Barbados Bucks, the best of the British, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I like Paul's other horse, 3-2-5, owned by Max McNeil, is not a bad horse. He's another one who keeps finding enough to win. He doesn't look that impressive every time. And Paul says there's very little between the two of them. You know, Barbados Bucks is an official rating of 139. You'd be expecting something to win this around the 145s, 150 rating. So he looks like he's got a little bit to find.
Yeah. We have a few questions, as I said. We'll run through them quickly. Quite short answers, please. Sorry to be pushing it now, but Graham Smith has a question. Who have the most winners, Ireland or England? Is that even an argument?
That's not even a question.
No.
I think the bookies are giving a 6-6 lead to the British in the handicap. Declan Conway, Damien Keane, similar type of questions. How many winners will Paul Townend have?
If you could get him 7+, I'd get at it.
Wow, it's interesting. Mick?
Sorry, 6
5. Because I think he's got a few choices to make. And as Ruby knows, not easy to get it right all the time, Ruth.
No, cheers, it's not. But like, as far as I know, I could see with two the first day, two the second day, Thursday's a bit of a struggle for him, but I think he's great rides again in the last day. I if you can find six and up at a price, I take it. And I think it's a great bet because it gives you an interest in every race from the start to the finish.
Question, not from the audience, but in relation to this, Mick, it seems like there's a bit of an Irish dominance in recent times, and this year looks just stronger than ever. How is that being picked up in Britain?
Well, I think they realise they've got to get their checkbooks out because they're not buying these horses. They're not buying the right horses. And I think, you know, I've said it for a long time. You know, Willie has a great team of people buying horses for him because they're getting there before everybody else.
Miriam Murphy Wood, Paul McKenna, John Meyer, all the same type of question. Does the lack of people at the race course, will it spoil the event for TV? And does this have a negative financial impact on horse for trainers and jockeys?
Well, it does because it has a negative impact on gambling in the UK, and therefore it has an impact on prize money. Will it affect jockeys, trainers, or horses on the day? No, not really, because they're used to doing it most other days of the week, Monday to Friday. It's probably a disappointment because it is the one time in the year where you get to ride at a full venue. So that was always a Aintree, Punchestown, Cheltenham, they're jam-packed venues, Galway. There's a buzz riding at those and partaking at those. So the buzz is missing, but it's something that they're well used to.
Tommy, I'll just say, I'll take you back to Cameco winning the Guineas and Oisin Murphy riding his first classic winner. And he turned to salute the crowd and then he realised there's no crowd. And it'll be like that for a lot of the lads.
Yeah. A few of the questions have been along the lines of is there any value to, against Willie or against Paul to be the top jockey? Probably not, is there?
I don't see it. I don't. Maybe in the without market, Rachel or Brian Cooper. Nico, obviously riding for Nicky Henderson, will always ride a couple of winners. But no, I don't see it.
Was it a correct decision? We won't go into this because it hasn't been talked about a lot. But John Coughlin asked, was it a correct decision to stop the amateur jockeys competing at the festival?
No, I'm a... They have a conditional jockeys race at the festival. So I feel gutted for all the lads that come over and ride in those races. It's their whole season, you know, can be based around trying to get a ride in one of those races. And, you know, I feel desperately sorry for them because, you know, they don't get many opportunities. And, you know, I think it's a real shame, especially as, you know, we're due to come out of lockdown on the 29th, which is only in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, it's frustratingly close. As you say, the amateurs wouldn't mind having a winner in front of an empty stand. It doesn't really matter. It would be lovely to get it, wouldn't it?
I do, but I think it was a completely technical decision, Tommy. I wrote about it in the Examiner. It had to do with what the definition of elite sport was. It wasn't a decision really made by Cheltenham or the BAJ. It was basically government guidelines from the British government. And look, it is a sickener and it's disappointing and I feel sorry for them all. But I don't think you can point a finger at Cheltenham or the BHA and say that to your fault you wouldn't let them ride. It's not. It's a government decision and we're all following guidelines of different governments.
And that goes back to what we last year. Like the government guidelines didn't tell us not to go. It just said something happened.
No.
It's just one of the things we are following what's been told and advised for the best, for the goodness of people as well as the game. Bronwyn O'Donnell asked a question. She's looking for a lucky 15 suggested for each day. I think you, Ruby, that covered on Monday. I've been through it in depth, so it's definitely in Monday's paper. Here's a good question. We'll finish it up on this now. It's slightly Cheltenham related. We'll have to try and bring in Cheltenham into it. Paul Drummond asked, who was the one horse that had the great potential that you rode that never realised it? We'll go Mick first.
A horse called Blue Royal. I led Istabrak over the last when he won his third champion hurdle. And I thought this horse will be back next year and he'll win the Arkle. And unfortunately, he never delivered the goods. You know, he was a very, very good horse. And look, with you know, there's lots of people who have stories about horses like that, but it was a real shame for him and for his owner.
Yeah, I remember him well. Ruby?
Oh, Vatour. Without doubt. You know, never you can get to see half enough of him.
Wow. And just
to I know he won three times at Cheltenham, but he's the closest horse I ever rode to Carlos there.
Gave a display of jumping 1 year that would take your eye.
I think he was an incredible racehorse.
It was phenomenal. We better wrap up for the week. Ruby, what's your best bet for the week?
Oh, I need to double on the Tuesday. Monkfish and Shaq and Poursois, and do a treble with the three novice chasers, Shishkin, Monkfish, and Envoy Allen, Paul Townend +6 for an interest for the whole week.
Well, Mick.
Oh, look, I love Monkfish. I'm a huge fan of him. I think Chatham Street Lad and St. Calvados are very, very good each way bets in their subsequent races.
And for me, I think it's a Royal Pagay. He turns up in the National Hunt Chase. And also for a handicap, I like Champagne Gold. I think he ran a superb race on his handicap debut in a really competitive race. I think he'll be suited. Not certain whether it's the County Hurdle or the Martin Pipe. He'll be suited by a strong pace. I think he's a horse that's going to improve a ton. I could see him being back next year for better races. Mick, Ruby, thanks very much. And we're going to hand back to Colin.
Thanks indeed to our three wise men. What a performance by Tommy, Ruby and Mick there. If the racing next week is half as exciting and entertaining as the past are, then we are in for a fantastic time. As well, on Monday, we mentioned the 20-page Cheltenham Preview magazine supplement is out. Wonderful insights, interviews, information, tips aplenty in that, and that will whet the appetite for the 4 days of the Cheltenham Festival, which gets underway on Tuesday. And in Tuesday's Irish Examiner, we're back to our daily sports supplement. You'll be delighted to hear. Tommy and Ruby will be heading the team for us for the 4 days of the festival with their tips and thoughts each day. Ruby as well will be posting a video postcard every morning from Prestbury Park at around 9 a.m. to look ahead to that day's racing. So that's a new initiative from us. And as well, don't forget our website, www.irishexaminer.com/sport, for all the breaking news during, before and after the racing at the Cheltenham Festival. Want to mention as well the assistance we had in putting tonight's programme together. Our thanks to 888sport.com, and also a huge thank you to our marketing department, to Karen and Nicola in the background there, and to all the big team here in VE Studio for tonight's broadcast. That's it from me and the team here tonight. Good night. God bless.